You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Talking to you this afternoon about the law. And I guess the one thing, however, those of you who are listening, if you're taking kids out tonight or tomorrow, make sure they have something colorful. Make sure they have flashlights. It's very difficult. Luckily, our weather, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about, our weather this afternoon, as you know, it's been mostly sunny, high above 59 degrees. Tonight, it's going to go down, and it should be in the freezing, low of about 31 degrees. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny, and we should have a high of about 55 degrees. So great day to be out there working in the yard or doing other things. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, so it's going to be really hard to see the kids who are out. If they're out tonight and tomorrow night, it's always difficult to see them. Tomorrow night, about 42 degrees will be our low. And then on Sunday, there's a 30% chance of showers, so if you have to rake the leaves or blow the leaves, I guess tomorrow is the day to do it. Sunday night, there is a slight chance of rain, about 20%. So into Monday, again, mostly cloudy, but up around 63 degrees. So the weekend is going to be the best day this weekend to get out there and do everything you have to do outside will be tomorrow. And as I said, the chance of showers on Sunday, the precipitation is about a 30% chance and less than a tenth of an inch, but that always can create a problem. So we're going to be back. I have a guest today. I'm really looking forward to learning things about paint contractors, painting, what we need to ask. And my guest, and we'll be back after just a short break. My guest today is Audra Frank, and she, her business is AFA, and she renovates and paints, and sustainability is the word. And she also works with one of my other favorite people, Bo Ferguson at Ferguson Brothers, and they're the Benjamin Moore dealer, and they're an alpha. And again, these all of them, Audra, Bo, everyone else, they are the people who answer my dumb questions. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hello again. My name is Pat Smits. I'm the host for It's the Law. And as I said, I'm very pleased today to have a guest, Audra Frank. And I said her company was AFA. Actually, it's Audra Frank Associates. And all of us at some time or another, we probably have to do some painting, do some staining. This is certainly one of my go-to people when I'm asking about paints and stains and how to do things. But today what I wanted to do is let people know how important it is and what kinds of questions that they should ask. How do you determine the painter? Now, frankly, I've always found that using somebody local, using someone who you get recommendations about, possibly even looking at their work. I mean, if you're doing a huge job, an outside job, painting a house, staining a house, you really want to not do some of the things that I've done in the past. You really want to make sure that this is going to be someone who does this type of work, understands this type of work. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with college kids who paint in the summer, but, you know, I've always felt that people, for whatever, you need the person with the kind of expertise, because I'm not saying that, you know, somebody, your high school student, friend of your kids may be able to do it, but you need to have it done right. So in any event, Audra, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into this business? Because am I right to say that there are not a lot of women paint contractors?
No, there's not a lot of paint women paint contractors, but that's changing, obviously, with the some of the things with the economy and things like that. And also women are getting more involved in being the ownership of certain construction trades, and being a painting contractor is usually the first way to go up the ladder, so to speak, becoming a general contractor. Because a lot of times women have done, in fact, I have quite a few people that I know, women I know, who do faux finishing. And that's how they started getting into the painting business. They did all the decorative stuff because they started working on their house, and then somebody saw them, and it just escalated into making it a full-time thing. And it's leading over into being more of the painting contractor. And there's more things with YouTube and other areas learning how to that wasn't available before.
Well, let me ask you. Let's assume that somebody wants interior rooms painted. What do you suggest that they do, in trying to find someone that they can work with? Because one of the things I've always found is we need to find someone we can work with. We all work differently.
Right.
And I find that even in my profession, I mean, there are some clients that I can tell that I'll work very well with, and there are others that, you know, perhaps they should have someone else working with them.
I think the thing is that it's always the number three different bids if you're going. It depends. If you're just painting the room and you have somebody that is local, I'll just step back for a second. I always ask for my clients, or I tell my clients I'm insured, because general liability and also workers' comp. But general liability, if something happens, something breaks, you know, you can go to your insurance company, the contractor can go to the insurance company and help, you know, replace that. I mean, some things also are, you know, family heirlooms and stuff like that. And to have somebody come in not knowing what they can do, working around that type of stuff, it would be very assuring for me to recommend that they use somebody who has the proper insurance. That's the first thing. The second thing would be, how did you find this person? How did you come to have a conversation with them? Did you see their work somewhere and you asked a friend or a colleague? Usually referral is the best, you know, word of mouth is usually the best way of getting, you know, recommended by someone. But that's also saying that you would like to see their work, or at least call somebody, some people that they should be able to give you a list of people that they've worked for before, so that you can call and find out if that is something that that type of job that they've done for them.
And I'd like to make two comments. One, you briefly mentioned workers' compensation. Any contractor, anyone coming to work at your residence, that is just critical to make sure that they have workers' comp, because there are people out there, and especially there are people out there who are hiring people off the books. They don't have them covered under workers' compensation. And that's just vital. And in fact, one of the things that I always tell people, and I, as you know, I'm a lawyer, I'm a family lawyer, but self-employed people can, in fact, get workers' compensation for themselves. I'm covered under workers' compensation, and in fact, it's a very relatively inexpensive insurance, and it's just vital. So don't let someone say, well, I'm self-employed, therefore I'm not entitled to workers' compensation, because that law was changed a number of years ago, and even someone who is a single person working on their own, they can, in fact, be covered for workers' compensation. And, of course, the other thing is, you know, follow up on referrals.
Right.
And if at least one referral, unless you really know the person or you know a number of people that the person has done a job for. And the other thing I would say is, if you cannot get a referral from a painting contractor, I would be very skeptical. Now, it's a little different in my profession, because I can't give out names of my clients. I mean, that would be unethical. But in anyone that's doing painting or any kind of contracting, there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be able to give you a referral.
I totally agree with that. Now, unless they're first starting out, and then in that case, usually what will happen is that they will find ways of finding a project here or there so that they can start building their portfolio. The other thing, they could also work for somebody else or work with an artist, you know, a faux finisher, to get some hands-on experience. But I totally agree with you. If you cannot give somebody a name and a phone number, I usually give a list unless I know the person that I don't have to do that with. But there's a list of, I have references, and it's on my, even on my website, of people that I've worked for before. It also just shows you, you know, credibility, and you're established. So especially for people nowadays who are having people come into their houses and they have to leave, they have to go to work, you want to know that, one, for the insurance that we spoke about, but also their reputation, that you're not worried about what are they doing while you're at work, and you can get the job done and get out of there. So I have a lot of people that give me keys for that reason. So,
and in fact, most of us who do work have to, in fact, give keys. And you're right. You have to trust the people to come in. And I guess I have one question. How do you determine whether or not they're going to clean up? Because I happen to have had a fairly sizable job, and I was really amazed at how much stuff was left behind.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it was before I knew you.
Well, one of the things I would say is that it's also usually in an agreement. You can put that in. I mean, you can actually redline a proposal. I mean, you can say, you can ask, and I would also ask a lot of questions. It goes both ways. Bless you. The first one would be, you know, are you working with a designer? Are you working with somebody beside yourself? Who's picking the colors for you? The second thing is, what is your expectation of, are you going to pack the furniture for us? Or we prefer packing it for you. We totally encapsulate everything. I don't know whether that's because of a woman's touch or not, because I really don't want to upset some of the guys who are also, I've seen, do a beautiful, neat job. But I would ask them, how are you going to clean up at the end of the day? Especially if you have children and a dog and everything else. At the end of the day, what am I going to be coming home to? They have a right to ask that question. Especially if you have people in the house all day and you're worried about what it's going to look like when you come home. So that's a big key thing for us in terms of what our preparation is in our proposal. It's right up there and right in the front. So, and it really takes care of a lot of problems too.
And although I happen to be someone who for years have done things by handshake, not in my own business, but because as attorneys we need retainer agreements, I think now perhaps things are gone overboard a bit, but you do need to have a contract. And I think, Audra, talk to us a little bit about when you say a proposal. Let's say someone comes to you and says, look, I want to bid to, I mean, what's some of your usual types of jobs? What would somebody, you know, just give us an example so then you can tell us and go through the steps.
Well, one of them is repainting the entire house because they're moving in. Another one is a renovation, that there's going to be some renovation being done with the bathrooms or the kitchens, or possibly even doing a finished basement, turning a basement into a finished basement. So those type of jobs. And my thing is that my proposal would be, how many coats of paint are you going to give me? Who buys the paint? Terms of working from when to when, and also the description of what the job is going to be. And also then the bottom part of that proposal / contract would be in payment terms, because what is your expectation of what you're asking for a deposit midway, because it could be something that you're only there for 2 days and there's something you can be there for a year, like a project that I did in New York City took me over a year to do. So you have to find out how you're getting paid, and the client needs to know that as well. So
what's the usual term that, let's say a homeowner who wants or somebody who's going to move into a house, so the house is going to be empty, they're closing on the house, and they have a little time before they move in, but they want the entire interior painted. Tell me a little bit about that proposal and what they should think to ask.
First of all, I would find out, I always ask if I can see the house. It's really hard to give a price without having a way to, I'm always surprised how somebody will ask me over the phone to give them a price when I haven't seen the house. Every house is different. Even if we live in a townhouse community, every townhouse is different. You could have been a lot neater than me. A lot of things could have happened, so I like to see that. Second thing is I like to work out a color scheme and make sure the colors are picked ahead of time so we're not having to waste time trying to figure out what color to use. And then also the preparation, what are they looking to do? They can do everything from caulking and filling to taking wallpaper off and having residue on the wall, or just having a really bad paint job that you have to repaint for someone, or damage also. So my thing before they're moving in is have all that agreed with what is going to happen and how we're going to cover the floors and the furniture, or excuse me, actually in this case would be cabinets and things that are already existing in the house. We totally encapsulate them, like I said. And then we ask for the day we start, ask for a deposit, and then midway point, again, if we're painting the whole house, another payment, then there's a third payment, and then there's a retainage of where you hold 10% of the third payment to do a walkthrough and make sure everybody's happy before you get the final check.
Well, excellent. So what should a homeowner expect as the first payment, more or less the down payment when they sign the contract?
A third of the project.
And at what point then would there be, I'm assuming, the second third?
Usually after things are all prepped and ready to be painted, and also areas that have been primed. You're getting ready to put on the finished coat of paint.
Okay. And what can you do to make sure that after that third payment is made that you actually get the third payment? At what point do you ask for the third payment other than the 10%?
Well, I usually call up and say that we're pretty much getting finished and that we would like to have a walkthrough to go through and make sure everything is, I mean, at that point, you'll know whether you are entitled to that payment or not. The second thing is that I ask them to do a walkthrough with me because if there's something that they're seeing that we're not seeing, I'd like to address it right away so that when we're done with that and we do the walkthrough, I'm pretty much given a check and we're out the door. It's very rare that I don't get paid. So it's, if I'm sounding a little hesitant, if you do what you say you're going to do and say what you do, then you should be okay. But it also protects both of you that if you're not ready, you really don't have the right to ask for the money, and the same as the client turning over the check. I usually find a lot of more people pay than not. They'll pay to get them out of the house sometimes because they want them to leave than it is because of a great job. And I don't understand that. So my thing is just communication to me, and I've said this before, communication with your client, you have to have a good relationship. And you got to be able to really be able to say, I don't like this color, or this is not what I thought I was going to get. Can we talk about it and work it out? Because I'm not the plumber or the electrician. I mean, it's a coat of paint. So it's sometimes it's just faster to do that than it is to get into a you know what kind of contest. And you try to have a pleasant experience while you're having this work done. I mean, you're with somebody every day. So,
well, let me ask you, what about someone who is really indecisive? What do you suggest? Because frankly, I think sometimes it's very difficult from a swatch or a small amount of paint to figure out exactly what color. Do you have any suggestions? I know this isn't really a legal question, but you know, what makes it easier for the homeowner and frankly doesn't add to their costs, because they're, you know, I'm assuming that if you paint one wall or half a wall and all of a sudden they want a different color, that's got to be a change in the contract.
Yes, it is. And the thing is that what I like, but if somebody doesn't really have a clue, first of all, I'd like to come over and see what they have for the moment. And then if they're finding out what they're going to change, are they going to change the carpet, are they going to change the tile, what are they going to do with that? Then second thing I'd like to do, depending on the color, is try not to paint a color on a chip. Or like if you come to our store, well, you know, we've had those large chips so you can actually see it. And for a small fee, you can take it around and put it on a wall without having to paint a spot here and there and everywhere. But my suggestion would be if you're leaning towards a color, then have the painter prime that room the color of the – you're not going to get the true color, but you'll get a sense of what that color is going to look like, because primer is so different than paint. So,
well, you've just touched on something. Again, it's not legal, but I have to tell you, and I've painted – I can't tell you how many rooms during my adult lifetime. And I was never aware until I started working with Bo that there's colored primer.
Yes.
I mean, I had always primed everything with white.
Right.
And frankly, I recently had to have a wall in my office painted, constructed actually, because of another issue with the Clinton Township building inspector. But so be it. When we actually painted and put the primer on, my husband came in and said, "Oh, this is great. We don't even have to put paint on." Yeah. That's how close it was. Now, granted, it was going to be white. But primer is interesting because it seems to me that also what homeowners have to realize is what happens when there's a very dark color or you're really changing color. Obviously, if it's white, it's pretty easy unless
right.
it's, you know, really damaged. But, you know, what do you tell people and how do you actually, if someone has a very dark wall, how are they going to get the actual paint color that they're hoping to get looking at the paint chip?
I tell them to prime it first. Is that exactly? I would tint the primer, even if you're going to do an off-white, because it's really hard to even to pick a color if you're using a very dark color and all of a sudden you want to go lighter. It's not going to look the same unless you're in an area where you can actually magnify that color, so to speak. So if you're going in with a chip and you're looking against a red wall, it's not going to read the color that it's going to be. It's going to be very confusing for the customer. And especially if they know they're going to be changing that, they're going to go lighter. My suggestion would prime it, start with a clean palette and go from there. My other thing is if you're having a dark color and you're going with another dark color, then you don't necessarily have to prime it. Because a lot of times the new paints that are out there now have paint and primer together. So I would suggest at that point then getting one of those little half pints and taking something that's not going to be so noticeable, like a soffit or something, and paint out the color so you at least you see the color across, as opposed to, again, having this little square thing that's on the wall and trying to figure that out. So I hope I answered what you're asking.
No, you have, and I think, and I do have another question, but one of the things that I find it's interesting is, you know, different parts of most rooms are different because of the sun or shadows or any suggestions that, you know, what somebody should do, because obviously you've put a square of paint on a wall that has a lot of sun or a lot of light,
right.
It's going to look very different.
I tell them to look at it in two different times of the day because you can't really make that decision. That's one of the reasons why I tell them really not to look at the color inside our store, to go out where there's natural light, because a lot of people don't have fluorescent lights in their house. And it really makes a difference on what the color. You can actually have a color that is washed by the sun, so to speak, and then at night it looks completely different. So you have to look at it twice if you're that concerned about it. I mean, most of the time when people pick the color, they're picking the color and they just go right through it. They don't. But I have clients of mine that is a big to do. That's a big consideration, and you have to respect that.
Well, we're going to take a short break to play some breaks from our sponsors, and then we're going to be back, and I'm going to ask Audra a couple things. One about if you're doing carpet and tile or tile, you know, what should be done first? It's the kind of the chicken and egg question. And then to see if she has any advice, since I do family law, as to how to deal with, two different people living in the house when things such as paint colors have to be, or anything has to be selected. So we'll be back shortly. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, we're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits, and my guest today is Audra Frank. And Audra has her own paint and decorating company, Audra Frank Associates, and she also works with the Ferguson brothers in Alpha, and they are the Benjamin Moore dealers. And kind of Bo Ferguson is my go-to guy when I have the stupid questions about paint or stain or any of these other things. But one of the things that I like to see is that we all need to use people who are local, and we know that they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Many of them are members of the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, it's always nice if you have to pick up the phone and complain. None of us like to, but we know that if somebody is local, you know, they're going to be there. But the thing I wanted to ask, and I know we're going to talk about carpet tile and other things, but one of the things that I thought about during the break is to ask Audra about if you suspect that there's lead in the house or if you see mold. And one of my things about mold is I was doing some renovations in my house, and one of the walls that was backed up to a bathroom was opened up. And frankly, I did not think there were any leaks in a shower at all. Tile looked like it was in good condition. And when they opened that wall, it was black. Needless to say, you know, the wall came down and I got a new bathroom. But what should be done? What happens? That obviously has to be something additional to what you're doing. But what if someone has an old house and they've had, you know, probably layer after layer of paint, and there's a possibility of lead? They don't know, but there's a possibility.
Well, for me, usually there's been a pamphlet that usually goes out when you're buying a house, and that there's a disclosure in that. The second thing is I inform them that prior to 1978, there definitely was lead in the house. And there is a pamphlet, usually even in a paint store, that you can pick up. But my first thing would be is to test it, especially if you have a house with children. And I believe the age, I like to go up to 6 or 7, but I believe the age is like 4 or 5. But still, lead to me is one of the most toxic things on the planet.
Well, so in fact, it is. And I know that very often in the cities, people worry about lead in, you know, Trenton, Newark. But that doesn't mean to say that it's not here.
Right.
And so if somebody, when you say someone buys a house, but, you know, the sellers may have no idea that there was lead in the house. So what should a buyer do? Or what should someone who is thinking of painting and they have an old house, what should they do?
Well, the first thing is if you you can go to even a hardware store, a good hardware store, and they have the little lead tests where you can test it yourself. I send mine all out to a company down in Virginia because that's what they do. I take samples from the house and I send it, and they send back the report to tell me whether it has been or not. You know, sometimes on some of the houses that you see, some of the peeling is because of the fact that they painted and prepped in the wrong time of the year, and also there was moisture getting underneath and it caused the paint to fail. So, I mean, I don't want to, I'm not trying to have anyone panic, but, you know, it's good to get it tested. The second thing is if you don't disturb it, in other words, there isn't anything that you're scraping away. But if you're scraping, first of all, you totally encapsulate the house, the room. And then the second thing is there are vacuums that we have that pick up they're meant to be to pick up the lead dust. And then third is if it's a huge project or something that's not that you can't contain, you really need to get a lead abatement company. And I will also say, going back to older homes, you should really ask if there is an issue. You have to ask if it's a law. You have to be certified. It's the EPA. It's the RRP. And that's the renovation certification that says that you have gone and got the proper training to deal with lead in somebody's house. I also want to say that with a painting organization, I had mentioned this a couple of months ago here, I belong to an organization. We helped our trade get licensed in the state of New Jersey so that we are licensed and also certified for, as a painting contractors, to be able to work in this state. And that actually, that EPA law is across the country.
But are you saying that every painter is licensed to do this type of work?
Every painter is licensed as a business in the state of New Jersey.
But so how any of you your business,
you can guest call the state, and you can also go Better Business Bureau. And most people, if you see that, should be on the truck or on their business card, but it has to be posted. That if they tell you that they are licensed, I even have a card that I carry that shows that I'm a licensed contractor in the state of New Jersey. But that's, again, weeding out some of the people that should not be doing it. I tell this all the time. I can make you a painting contractor. You have a truck. I can go get you a ladder, a cover, a roller, a pan, and a handle, and a gallon of paint. You're not a painter. I'm a painting contractor. My guys are certified. We do everything the way we're supposed to.
But how would someone find out if the person really knows anything about lead or mold? Let's say lead first. And do you think someone who wants a job, I mean, is there anything that someone should ask in a proposal?
Yes.
And
it's usually there's where the seal in the bottom of my stationery, even on an email, shows that I'm certified in lead. And the thing is, again, I'm not going to come and abate it. But I know how to work with it there's wet sanding. You don't put anything in the air because what happens, those particles, you know, when they talk about people getting sick, it's not so much them putting chips in their mouth, but just think of a baby crawling around on the floor and the windows opening. Usually it's the windows opening and closing, because most houses nowadays, like I said, they've been renovated by the time you move in. A lot of times people don't change the doors and they don't change the windows. So what happens every time they open and close the window, that dust is getting in and the baby's crawling around, and sooner or later something will happen. It's inevitable.
And
unless, of course, it's after 1978 and then it's a moot point.
But I think what you've pointed out is you're absolutely right. So many people in the older homes had the older windows, and the windows themselves were painted with lead-based paint.
Oh, absolutely.
And frankly, the incidents, and when you see children who have ingested, and I don't know how much is toxic, but it doesn't seem like it has to be a whole lot.
A friend of mine, just a very quick, story. My neighbor had a friend who bought a house, one of the oldest houses in Fanwood, New Jersey. And it was being worked on by a gentleman who would come, his way of working would be to scrape everything off, oil prime it, then go back to his country, and then come back during the summer and paint it. I got a phone call from her to ask me if my house that I had moved out, I moved out to here, this area, if my house was available. And I said, yeah, why? What's going on? And she told me that Dyfus had come to the house because she had taken the baby and herself to the doctor, and she thought she had the flu. And when you take a baby to get, you know, waited on or seen by a doctor, they do a test. And the baby had the lead levels that you can't believe, because what happened, exactly what I was saying, she was crawling around through opening and closing windows, and the dust in those sills was coming in, and you pick up her toys and stuff like that, put them in her mouth, and she got really, really ill. So they gave her a certain amount of time to get out of the house, and my house had been totally renovated except for one door. But they came in and checked on the house, and I told them that I had encapsulated it, and they said yes. So I told them the truth. There was one door, because it was an antique door. I wasn't going to change it. But there wasn't any flaking paint on the door that we had encapsulated with the latex semi-gloss paint. and they were okay with that. So it definitely, it's, you know, firsthand, I can tell you it happens. And again, I'm not saying that everybody's going to run out now tomorrow and go get a test. But if you're going to do any kind of renovation in an old house, you really should check it out. Just, you're talking about maybe $10, $15 for a test to see whether you have lead in there or not. And then it's a whole thing of doing the right thing, of encapsulating it, making sure that your children and under that age, that benchmark that I was telling you, to get out of the way so that you can do your job and get out of there. And well, water is a big thing for that. You can spritz down a lot of stuff. And if you're keeping the dust getting into the air, landing on something else so that they don't ingest it.
Well, and this is not just for families with young children, but there are lots of grandparents out there and aunts and uncles who live in old homes.
Right.
And can you imagine any one of us who's a grandparent? We certainly, you know, what would we think if we had a grandchild who ended up with lead poisoning as a result of their, you know, visiting us and crawling around? And so this is something that, you know, everybody should be aware of. And frankly, I think that, you know, I'll give out Audra's phone number. And so that in the event that you're concerned, I'm sure that she would tell you exactly how to get that test done.
Yes.
Or if you need to talk to somebody who really knows paint, I'm going to give you her office number is 908-872-3635. And the fax number is 908-859-4391.
Right.
And I'm sure that you would not mind if people contacted you. And actually, the lead, as we said, most of us have not worried over the years, but I certainly remember going to a grammar school where, you know, an old-fashioned grammar school in Wisconsin. And, you know, after I managed to get through first grade through eighth grade, it only had five rooms, but it, you know, still. And I remember in our when I was in eighth grade, we got out of school April 1st because they had to tear the school down because of asbestos and lead.
Right.
And so all of these things are really important. And of course, that's why some people probably think I am the way I am. But it, no, this is so serious. And I know that my daughter works for it's now called Division of Children and Families, but they find a lot of this. And children, I mean, it really is not something that, you know, it's not like mumps, measles, or chicken pox. You don't get over this if you've had lead poisoning, and this is important. Okay, what about mold? I mean, what should someone do? I'm assuming if you go in to paint, and I would assume that some of the worst it would be bathrooms,
kitchens, bathrooms, laundry rooms,
okay,
basements.
And how do you determine? I mean, if it's not horrible, I mean, obviously, if the whole wall is black, you're going to notice it. But how would you determine, or how should a homeowner take a look at a bathroom to see if they're starting to have mold, even if fresh paint?
The little dots that you see on the ceiling, little black dots here and there. Or around, like some of the bottom around the shower is starting to turn brown and stuff like that. First of all, I would tell you, number one, again, masks are very important. Gloves are very important. And by all means, and I will say this twice, by all means, do not use bleach. Bleach is a disinfectant. It is not a cleaner. And what happens is almost like throwing a match on a can of gasoline. You clean the surface, you think you're fine, and you come back the next day, and it's just activated. Because mold is a fungus. You have to kill it. So you're really not killing it. All you're doing is just taking away what you're seeing, but you're not getting into the... If you're going to do anything, three things you can use. One is a Crud Cutter, Simply Green. The other one is cheap vodka and
really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Cheap vodka. I know a few
vodka.
People.
And shellacking it, you know, the old bin or the orange shellac, because you're going to encapsulate it. So it can't grow.
Wait a minute. Let's get back to this cheap vodka, because I know a few people that would love to, you know, buy a few bottles, probably drink one, And do you use this in full strength vodka?
Yeah, full strength. Vodka's a cleaner. So the other one is vinegar and water. But in terms of mold, though, being serious, you really need to not use bleach. So I said it three times. The other thing is, if there is, you walk in and it is what you're talking about, you need to call a remediation company immediately, because they come in with hazmat. This stuff is really serious. It gets into your lungs. It's really not great. And if we open up something and it's really bad, I immediately call someone. There's a lot of other things that you can do. One of them is that the Zinser, you can go online, Zinser, Zinser. They're right here in New Jersey, but they're the shellac. They're the mold killers. They're our go-to. We completely encapsulate a surface with bin, which is an alcohol primer. I mean, we get rid of, clean the mold, and then we prime everything.
Well, I'm assuming that also
shower walls too.
What is it?
The shower walls, the floor, everything.
Oh yes,
we prime everything.
But one of the things also, anyone who is looking to buy a house that has been flooded, I mean, that's one of the, you know, what do you say if you go into a house that you see that there's been some renovations, but in fact it was, you know, part of properties that were flooded, which is not unusual in this area?
Unless it's plaster, I would recommend, I can recommend somebody, but I would recommend having someone and taking the sheetrock out, because behind the sheetrock is also the insulation, and you got to get to that also. I would, if it's been in that condition, I would say take everything down to the stud and start over, and again, prime up all the studs, unless, of course, they've got mold on them. But I would take it apart. I would want to make sure I would do due diligence, because I don't want to be thinking that that's going to come back again.
And I think this is one of the concerns with some of the work that's been done at the shore.
Yes.
And even I remember a few years ago, much of Belvedere was flooded, and, you know, not unusual for parts of Phillipsburg, Lambertville, you know.
Boundbrook.
Boundbrook is almost.
I had a shop there. It was gone. It was completely leveled because of that hurricane. And the other thing is, If the damage is up to a certain level, what the remediators are doing now is that they're just going above that line, which is fine. It's really, because once you get rid of it, it'll be ready to go for new. But my comfort level is, if you're going up that high, you might as well go up the other rest of it. Yeah.
In other words, what you're saying, if the water only came up 2 feet, if they go up 3 feet, they're right. Probably okay.
Right.
Well, with that, let me play a few more spots from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about whether it should be painted or carpeted first, or whether you're putting tile down, you know, what happens. You know, this can be one of those arguments that husbands and wives have over, you know, what should happen first. So we'll be back shortly. Stay with us.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, we're back. My guest today for the next few minutes is Audra Frank. I don't know about you, but I've been learning a ton of information. And we were laughing about the vodka. So if you don't want vodka, although I know a lot of husbands who, you know, you bring, you know, six bottles of vodka home and say,
cheap.
Gee, this all I want you to do is, you know, you can, for every two bottles you use cleaning the mold, you can drink one. You know, he'll probably even have his friends over. I know a bunch of guys that would come over and you could have the mold party as long as you clean it off with vodka. But Audra did say that there is one other thing that she recommends.
Yeah, it's peroxide.
I don't think it's as much fun as vodka.
It's not,
I'm sorry.
It is definitely a cleaner. It really is. And it works really well. And it's very inexpensive to use. So just want to throw that in there. And I just want to make sure I'm clear with the listeners is that when I'm in doubt, I call somebody who's an expert. And that's my thing. I would have somebody come in and see your situation before it gets crazy. And I also told Pat that every contractor that works in the state of New Jersey, actually across the country, but you know, especially for us, is that you have to be certified in lead. You have to have that. You have to have that course, so that you know how to work with it and not scare everybody half to death. So,
well, and the other thing, anyone as a lawyer, although I do not handle real estate, please don't call me about real estate questions. On the other hand, as a family lawyer, I'm very often involved with clients selling homes. And as we used to say in the old days, someone would sell their home. There'd be enough money for both people to have a down payment and the lawyers would get paid. Needless to say, with what's happened with the real estate market, it's not quite that. But if you're selling a home, you have certain obligations. And if you know, as a homeowner who's selling the home, if you know there's mold or lead or any hazardous you know, oil tanks or anything else, you must disclose that. And one of the reasons, and people say to me, well, why do you always say we should get a lawyer? Well, frankly, these are the reasons why, even as a seller and a buyer, right, I believe that you need a real estate lawyer. I'm a lawyer, but when I bought my home, my current home and my first home, I had a lawyer. When I refinanced, I retained an attorney. So could I have done it myself? Well, I suppose so. I probably would have been better off, at least from the standpoint of most people, at least I would have been able to read the contracts, etc. But this is not an area of my expertise. And I think it's really very foolish to try to save a few dollars when it's something as important as either buying a home or selling a home. And especially with respect to what we need to disclose, because it's no longer buyer beware. If you think it's buyer beware in real estate, it's not. So I don't mean to lecture, but I think that's something that is very important. So getting back to the question we were going to talk about, though, what comes first, the carpet and tile or the paint?
What we like to do, if there's existing carpet on the floor.
No, you're taking it up. You're going to replace it.
Okay, so then it's all up. We put the first coat of paint on the baseboard. Then we let the carpet guy come and do his thing, and then we come back and put the top coat on.
Well, on the baseboard, what about the walls?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. One, especially if you're going to have a floor stained or whatever, I put building paper on the surface with safe-release tape so that if there's a splash, it goes on the building paper, it doesn't go on the wall.
But would you suggest to people that they paint the walls first or they put the carpet or tile down?
Well, that's a trick question for me because my thing is if you had that tile and that carpet and you wanted to repaint your room, I would still be hired. So my thing is that if you can get all the dirty work out of the way first, all the sanding and everything else, you really don't want that on top of your carpet. I would say get all the prep and everything, first coat everything, and then have them put the carpet and then come back, or the tile, and come back and paint the last coat over everything, and then everything is fresh. And, you know, we have things to cover. I mean, there's drop cloths. There's, like I said, building paper. What you don't want on your tile is plastic because it can cause a problem, slippage, to make them fall and hurt themselves. But if you put down a certain material that goes that's designed for protection, for covering up the surface, you'll be fine.
Like the old-fashioned drop cloths.
Absolutely. We have tons of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right about the plastic. Heavy. And everybody likes to, you know, go down and buy clean plastic and put it down. And
right.
I have found even when, you know, you tape it down, it's still slippery.
It's still slippery, exactly. So I would suggest putting either, sometimes we've even had over tile, depending on the cost and the people working with us, the contractor, the GC, will put down a very thin thing of masonite so that we can still walk on top. But the carpet and the tile, is being protected.
Well, what about a situation where someone has a decorator who's helping with paint colors? I assume that in some ways that's very nice if you're just told this is the paint color we want.
Oh, we
and
love them.
You don't have to have any responsibility if it's not the right paint color.
Exactly.
So at what point, though, do you think it makes sense for someone, if they're doing rooms, let's say inside rooms, to work with a decorator to select colors?
Well, I think sometimes it's not just picking a color. It's other things that are involved, like what about your window treatment? What about the carpet? What about the bedding? What about the furniture? You may be wanting to do something else besides what you had before. So I would say go with somebody who really, that's what they do. They help you find, they help you put it together. They bring their swatches, we call them storyboards. They put it together. And then it's included helping with the paint color. It's only if you're just going to repaint a room and you're going to leave everything the way it is, then I would say if you kind of have an idea where you want to go, so either go to the paint store, take the chips, take them back to the house, or buy some samples, or talk to your painting contractor and have them do the samples for you and go that route also. It's either you're going to do it, they're going to do it, but somebody needs to make a decision on narrowing down what you're going to use. And then some people know exactly what they want, and that's usually the best. I mean, in terms of somebody repaint, usually the best customer because they already figured out what they wanted. But if you have somebody, what I always find that causes some confusion is that people, when I say about getting those chips, I mean, they'll have like 100 chips. Well, you know what?
No.
You're not going to go through all that. You're just going to go crazy. So I would say narrow it down to 10, then narrow it down to 5, and then get samples or paint it the first color. And if you don't like it, you can always adjust it, make it darker, make it lighter. But I would say if you're going to do a whole room over or you're going to redo anything, I would definitely call a designer or a decorator to come in to
help
you.
Well, I have to tell you, the Pat Smith's rule for myself has always been the best money I've ever spent is to buy a quart of paint
right.
that I think I want to use and then try it in different parts of the room. Right. And, it's a quart of paint. I mean,
exactly.
It's not that expensive. And I don't find the little, you know, I've tried the little paint cans, little samples, and they don't seem to be, helpful for me. Well, Bill Wolfson has walked in, our sports guy. So I want to see Bill is one of our sports guys. And Audra Frank is my guest today. And
hey,
she's a
nice
paint contractor. So let me ask you, Bill. Do you have any questions? Because I know that one of the things that you often have to do is paint your boat.
That's right. I've been painting my bottom for years. and I paint it with an anti-fouling paint, and I haven't had a barnacle on my bottom in a very long time.
Very good.
But anti-fouling paints are now, used to be made from copper, copper oxide,
right?
Which are now illegal in some jurisdictions like California and Florida. Absolutely. However, we now have bottom paints that are designed to be have antibiotics in them. We have them that are just slightly toxic. We have the kind that just irritate the barnacles and the other marine growth enough so they don't grow. Plus, they've also added some plastics so that they can't quite adhere to it. Exactly. Remember, evolution has let them generate calcium, and it's almost like a very sticky, hardening glue.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't bond with some of these types of paints now, so it's very interesting. The other thing that they've done is they also have some paints that will actually conduct a small amount of electricity that the barnacles apparently don't like.
Yeah. Well, you remind me of one more question, and this is over the years I've done a fair amount of staining, even of furniture, and we used to get great stains, and now it seems to me that most of them are not legally sold in New Jersey. So, you know, what happened? I mean, they were oil-based stain.
Right.
They were terrific.
A lot of people have been buying other companies, and they don't quite put everything back in the can the way they used to. The second thing is that exactly industry standards have changed so that the VOCs, which are the volatile organic compounds, are not allowed in certain municipalities. But there's great water products now, especially what's really great for the flooring industry is the water-based sealants, the polyurethanes. And I got to tell you, it really cuts down on staying out of your house for 7 days while you're waiting for your floor to dry. The other thing is in New York City, you cannot go in using an oil-based polyurethane. It all has to be water. So the turnaround time for putting the coats down that you need to get the surface that you want, it cuts down, retards the time. So it's like what used to take, like I said, 7 days, takes 48 hours. So it makes a big difference, especially if you're ready to move in. It's fantastic. It's,
yeah, yeah, but some of us
are really happy. But
of us don't like that look. I know. You know, well, we want the more.
Depends on what poly you get. And I can show you that. The other thing is Bo and I have a Benjamin Moore bought Lenmar. And that's a terrific stain product. And next time you talk to Bo, have him give you a sample or show you what the stains, because they are really penetrating and they're absolutely beautiful. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to give a plug to Audra and thank her for being here today.
Thank you.
And she's great. As I said, Audra and Bo Ferguson are my go-to people. Audra's phone number is 908-872-3635. And you can also find her at www.audra, A-U-D-R-A, Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Associates, A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T-E-S.com. And anybody who wants to bug my friend Bo, you can call him they're in Alpha. A little bit difficult to find, but well worth it. 908-859-0500. And again, thank you very much, Audra.
It's a pleasure,
and
Pat.
We'll be,
it's always nice
we'll
to
be
see
playing
you.
The break and the news, and then we'll be back with the sports guys.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Five students are in the hospital due to a chemical fire at a high school in Fairfax, Virginia. Fairfax County Fire Chief Richard Bowers provided an update on their conditions.
There are no life-threatening injuries. However, with any type of burn injury, the possibility for infection is one of the things that certainly causes a great deal of concern.
Bowers expects the cause of the fire at W.T. Woodson High School to be known late tonight or early tomorrow. The Republican National Committee is suspending its partnership with NBC over this week's debate on CNBC. A letter from RNC Chairman Rince Priebus says CNBC conducted the debate in bad faith. It accuses the network's moderators of asking a series of petty and mean-spirited